On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Son of a bitch, we are up and running. This has been a production.
Old school, baby.
Yeah, we are doing Talk and Sports on the dirty.
Down and dirty.
Yeah. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Talk and Sports. As you can tell, we sound a little different, a little like we did on the first 100 or so episodes of this. And that's because we have had two meltdowns in the studio today, one being technological, and one being in my goddamn head, as Matt
went all googly moogly.
Honestly, man, I have been displeased with how this has gone. We just finished recording an episode of Audio Whiplash,
which was scintillating,
honestly, and it sounded the way it's supposed to sound. Everything went the way it was supposed to. Come back in, fire everything back up, and No, it's not going to work.
Okay, you know what you need? You need to crack that beer that you've been...
delaying?
Yes, because Matt does all the technical work here. I am simply on-air talent, right? So he's been working hard. I've been kicking back.
Talent.
Yes, Bob. It's clear to everybody. It's really, you know, not even worth mentioning. Really.
Matt is a morose motherfucker at the best of times.
A little Eeyore, but that's okay. Crack that up. Let's see what happens here.
See, sounded better than our voices
and, you know what? It smells good, though.
So this is, as we discussed on the last Audio Whiplash, from the Covered Bridge Brewery, and it is...
Bridge Over the River Chai.
Oh, it does have a nice smell to it. Yeah, I don't mind that. It's okay. A little different.
Okay, it's a spiced ale.
Yep.
Comes in at about 5.1% alcohol.
This won't be what people are looking for in a description, but it reminds me almost like a gingerbread cookie or something, right? Like, it's not that sweet, but it's got a little something to it that...
Well, and if anybody's had a chai latte, anything like that, it's got kind of that tea kind of finish.
Yeah.
Right? And so to me, that's what it is. It has a lovely aroma. Yeah, but a bit of a tea, almost slightly medicinal finish.
Medicinal, nice.
Would you agree?
Yes, I would, actually.
Okay.
So, I've just turned the volume up in your headphones. That's what you're hearing now.
That is absolutely what I'm hearing.
Okay. I just didn't want you to think things were messing up or whatever, because we've had enough of that today.
Or I'm having a stroke.
What's happening over there?
That's just me shifting on the high-quality stool I'm on.
Always stool. Sitting on a stool.
Yes, sitting on a spike. Okay.
Can I just say openly, I don't like the way you sound.
That you love men. That's where I thought that was going.
I'll never say that openly. Okay. Only behind closed doors.
I will keep that to myself. Okay, well, you know what, man? This is what I got.
Well, I'm not... Yeah. Okay, well, we'll go back, and that's... You know what, people? This is what you're getting this week. And it sucks because, you know what? We got a lot of shit to cover.
there is a bunch of stuff out in front of us here.
So, what do you know about Stephen A. Smith?
I know he's an opinionated fella. He's on the...
Well, he's been moved around a bit because there's been some networks who don't really want any part of him.
Right, but he was on, what is that, you see, just 1 minute or...
Yeah, I don't know. We don't get an ESPN up here, right? Okay. Fox Sports.
But am I right? He is on...
So, he took a run at Phil Jackson last week, who's now running the New York Knicks, after... Well, he's felt for a while, apparently, that maybe he was overrated based on the fact that he had what he had in Chicago.
Right? So, was he the guy that was saying that, is Phil going to end up in Golden State?
I don't know about that, because I'm not enough of an NBA guy. Okay. And really, I've picked up these clips just because I find them hilarious. And so... He had Jordan and Pippen and Rodman in Chicago. Yeah. And then he had
Shaq
and Kobe. And some other pieces in LA.
Sweet Rick Fox. Don't forget that guy.
Sweet Rick Fox, is that what he goes by, or that's just what you like to...
he's got that kind of, you know, he's that paper bag brown, sweet looking...
Right. So... He's talking about him as a Nick and says, you know, I'm going to play this for you. I'm going to first play you what is most of the conversation and what he thinks of how Phil Jackson has managed, his first couple of moves with the Knicks, which are now, you know, he's been around there for a little while.
And the Knicks are trash.
Yeah. So I'm going to play that for you right now.
I'm going to do you a favor, my brother. I'm going to leave it to you. Because if it comes out of my mouth, if it comes out of my mouth, and I sit up there and I literally articulate the stuff that this man has done since he has been the executive of the New York Knicks, I'm going to lose my mind. I ain't going to be able to do the rest of the show. I'm telling you right now, if it comes out of my mouth, I'm not going to be able to control myself because I'm barely able to right now. I'm going to try to keep my composure.
A few moments later.
His very first move as the executive was to sign Lamar Odom, who was on crack.
Phil or Lamar?
I don't mean to be. Listen, I love Lamar Odom, the person, and God bless him. We're wishing nothing but the best. But metaphorically speaking, he signed his first move as the executive of the New York Knicks was to sign Lamar Odom, who was on crack.
So that's
same guy.
That's Stephen. Well, that's all one conversation.
No, but it's the guy I thought.
Yes, okay. So he's known to be a little crazy, right? He's out there just a little bit, and that was what he kind of thought of Phil Jackson's first move, I guess, to sign Lamar Odom. And so Deadspin, who's known to have a little fun with these sorts of things. And, of course, Lamar Odom and his agent and whatever, they weren't impressed with this and thought maybe it was a little out there. So there's been some legal stuff here. We don't know anything. We're just playing back what was said. Here's what Deadspin did with the same clip.
The stuff that this man has done since he has been the executive of the New York Knicks, I'm going to lose my mind. I ain't going to be able to do the rest of the show. I'm telling you right now, it comes out of my mouth, I'm not going to be able to control myself because I'm barely able to right now. His very first move as the executive was to sign Lamar Odom, who was on crack. His first move as the executive of the New York Knicks was to sign Lamar Odom, who was on crack.
So his co-host has clearly tried to interject a few times and to have him keep going back and play that. The only reason we go through all this, A, because it's fucking hilarious, but also, I feel like from time to time, you bring some crazy shit to the table. And it was time for us to add a new button because we haven't done that in a while. So from now on, when I feel like you're out of your mind, we will go ahead and we will just...
Who was on crack?
Yeah, you know what?
And we'll leave it right there.
Yeah. See, that's... And again, ladies and gentlemen, I brought this to the table at the beginning of the show. Yeah, Matt does all the technical work on this, and Matt pushes...
And how's that working out?
Matt, yeah. That's why we're coming to you out of a tuna can. There we are. I think I bring the most lucid points to this show. On-air talent.
Who was on crack?
Yeah. Yeah. I love a little crack now and again.
Okay, we got a lot of hockey to cover.
That's a separate show altogether. I think we look for that on Whiplash.
Yeah. Where do you want to start here? I guess we should go through this in chronological order.
Spread a couple cheeks.
That's no longer crack.
Well, that's a different crack. Okay, sorry. I love a little crack. Little being the most important part.
I'm trying very hard to move this into a different place. Just about anywhere but
if
here.
She ain't 280. She ain't a lady.
I don't know. What the fuck? Expansion draft. We got a lot to catch up on. Neither you or I were really around a ton last week to be able to put something together.
Shit to do.
Yeah. First blush thoughts on what Vegas was able to do on their jersey, on the way it was unveiled, anything like that.
I don't mind the logo. I don't mind the logo. I'm not loving the jersey.
It's a bit much. I don't mind the logo either. The jersey's a bit much.
What's muted? To me, I like the white. I don't know where I'm drafty, I think. But to me...
It's two or three tone and a couple of...
Well, it's gray and it's red and it's... Yeah, it's to me. But to me, that is by far, if you go back to 92 or whenever the Sharks started...
Yeah.
I think what they drafted... Now, what takes the ice on opening day? Two different things. But I think that's the best expansion team... Probably we've ever seen.
No, I think that's probably true, yeah. I'm intrigued. I assume, they didn't take Ranta, which we both thought would be a guy. They didn't take Grubauer, which at least I thought. I don't know.
No, we both had both those guys.
Well, I didn't take Grubauer. I took Nate Schmidt, but I thought that would be a...
Okay.
Yeah, Grubauer. No,
sorry, I took Grubauer.
So they did take Schmidt, but... In terms of goaltending, I was surprised by some of the stuff. Now, I had in my expansion draft taken Calvin Pickard, but he was going to be an AHL guy. I had taken five or six goalies, I think.
Yeah, see, so they clearly have Fleury and Pickard as their NHL guys.
Right.
And J.F. Berube.
Yes.
As their AHL guy.
So they talk about, George McPhee was interviewed, and he said, you know what, you can take as many goalies as you want, but you don't have anywhere to put them, which we did address on our show that... You're split in an AHL team. If you get stuck with one, you're in trouble, right, in terms of not being able to flip them, whereas they decided to take that route on defensemen, clearly.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of really serviceable NHL defenders.
Well, see, and unlike us, you and I both went with five goalies in anticipation of flipping them, obviously not keeping them.
Right.
To me, if you take the best goalies available, Grubauer, Ranta, Fleury, even if it's Korpisalo and Eddie Lack was available.
Yeah, there was a bunch of guys. Forsberg also out of Columbus, right? There was a bunch of guys available.
And it's interesting how that's come.
Yeah,
but anyways, we will get into that. But to me, it's you flip those. And even if you have to bite that a bit at the beginning of the season,
right?
There's going to be landing places. There's only so many starting spots. And you have teams looking.
Let's start with... Mark Methot, just because to me that is perhaps the biggest blow dealt to any team. Dorion has been under some, taking some flack here because he's been quoted as saying, we shopped around, but it just didn't feel right to trade him. But it felt right to lose him for nothing.
You know what? There's a bunch of things that go on there. You're looking at... And in hindsight, they look at that whole Landeskog for CC with something else, whatever that was back in the season, right at the end of the where that whole supposed...
I don't remember that. That would have been a big deal.
Okay, but see, to me, at the end of it, you look at that and go, If you could have sent CC in a pick for Landeskog, yeah. I would.
Yeah. I wonder whether Mathot is long for Vegas. Like, well, if it makes any sense,
okay, and so
is he too valuable for them?
Okay, well, and you see what's happened is, right, now his agent was on local radio the other day. They won't release the names of the teams on that 10-game no-trade.
10-team no-trade. It seems...
Although...
Most people seem pretty confident that every Canadian team
every
except
Canadian,
Ottawa... Yeah. What is that?
Well, you know what it is? He said, and what's been leaked out, coming through sources, is he's saying, yeah, no, I'll play in Vegas. If I'm not going to play in Ottawa, I'll play in Vegas. And to me, that's a virtual no... income tax state, Nevada.
So over the next 2 years, which is what's left on his deal, he will save $900,000.
That's
it. He'll make $900,000 more. Well,
okay.
Well, that's it. What
do okay. You, all right.
$900,000 yeah. more yeah. to play in Vegas than he would in Ottawa.
Yeah. And so to me, that's his hometown. And you go, okay, you know what?
I don't really have a lot of time for any of these guys that don't want to play in Canada.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah.
But he does want to play here.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I wonder, we'll see, but I doubt it, but I wonder if we see him flipped back here on January 1st.
Because you sent it to me. I hope not.
Because like, now not only did you lose, you're going to give something up to get him back.
To get him back.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, we've already gone through the 2017 draft. The drafts out in front of us now, the 18, 19, and 20, are supposed to be way deeper.
Yep.
Right, so we can get into that later.
Yeah.
But to me, we don't want to give up. If you're not going to give up picks in this weak-ass draft that we just had,
right?
Then why would you want to, you know? So unless you're going to take, no, to me, at this point, forget it. They should have went 4-4.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Agree with that, for
see,
sure.
See, the thing is, and I agree with you 100%. You mentioned it on a pre-expansion draft, TCS, that... Yeah, he's a number two here in Ottawa.
Yeah.
He's a legit top four.
Right.
Right? The way he plays the game, he's likely a better 3-4, right? But he complements Carlson
very well. He reminds me a little of Hamonic, right, who we'll, again, get into down the road, right? But he is a 1-2 here because of how well he works with Carlson.
But to continually refer to him as a number two
right.
is false.
Right.
And again, I know that's a pinch of revisionist history on my part. Right.
Yeah, trying to soften it a little, right, that
right.
we lost him.
But I agreed with you on that,
yeah,
TCS.
Yeah.
I didn't disagree with
right.
you that it is where he's our number two
yes.
in our system.
Yeah.
So to me, we don't have anything to sort of fill that right now, right? But what you do have is $4.5 million.
Right.
Over the next 2 years.
Well, you wonder... I've seen a couple of the Sens bloggers say a lot of that's going to be filled up by a couple of guys here shortly needing a raise, right? Unexpectedly having MacArthur back as well.
He comes on the books at 4.6.
Right.
Which is a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? If he's not going to put up 20-plus goals
yeah.
and be a top six, which he has been.
Yep.
But he needs to be better. Right? Now, granted. But to me, yeah, it's very Ottawa, right, that... I don't like James Neal left Nashville. You had a couple of. I think Mathot was probably the most valuable to his team
yes.
piece that was lost.
I think so too. Although, what Dale Tallon is doing in Florida seems to be undoing everything that was done in the last
right.
year that he was. They not only lost. Riley Smith, a little overpaid, but useful piece, and they gave up both of them.
We sat here on a preseason
when we did
show.
Our shows, yeah,
and
our drafts.
And we said, yeah, you know what? To me, and I didn't even bring Marchessault up, right? But the money they threw at Demers,
yeah,
right. Riley Smith, they paid them big money,
right?
Right, Keith Yandel. Like the money that they spent, to me, they didn't spend wisely, and it wasn't long term. So you're right. Dale Tallon is now
seems to be trying to undo it all.
And, yeah, we've kicked out the fat man, and we're running lean, Jerry.
Anything else from the actual expansion draft stand out to you?
You know what? Garbage. Do it in two different shows. Only the NHL would cram an expansion
yeah,
draft
you had a
show.
Chance to really get some attention here.
Right. And you know what? Throw that into one show. One 1-hour show let somebody do it properly. But instead you had this awkward, you got the attention being pulled away from what you're actually there for, which is the awards. And then you have these two guys like...
Well, that is the flip side, right?
Like the old dudes on the Muppets. Well, okay. And what they have done, and I'll agree with you, is I haven't watched an NHL awards in 10 years.
No. So it stinks. Like, I enjoyed more when they used to do it in Toronto and it was a CBC thing and you would have all these old guys and it was very much a stodgy old NHL old boys club. I enjoyed that more than going to Vegas and having C-level celebrities like Dave Coulier or whatever step out.
Or whoever hosted it.
I don't even... I didn't watch it.
I
watched the expansion part.
Magnioli.
Yeah, you're all over this, yeah.
Okay, anyways, he's garbage. Huge Penguins fan, too. But you're like, it's so annoying. And they try to do these skits that are awkward.
Always.
And the reality is, hockey players, they're awkward to begin with.
They're not interesting.
They don't want the spotlight right on them.
Right.
And then now you're asking them to do skits. Okay, terrible idea. And not only are they terrible at doing it, they're terrible at reacting to stuff that's funny or supposed to be funny. But they're like...
See Sidney Crosby and the... What were we debating? All the
fuck you.
No, the mouthwash.
Yeah, get the fuck
Listerine.
Out of here.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You fucking asshole.
Get fucked. He made a joke and Crosby. No, I didn't. I am not entertaining. I'm not interesting. Yeah. Don't ever come to me with that again.
Yeah.
Right. So,
if you thought I was creative, you're wrong.
Any of the award winners in particular stand out? Can I just say, and this, I know this is going to be taken wrong, not necessarily by you. I think Craig Anderson is a ridiculous choice to win the Masterton.
I think you're wrong.
Okay. The thing becomes that trophy is for outstanding dedication to the sport of hockey. Is one of the word the phrasings in it, right?
Actually, the most important word is perseverance.
Yep. Okay. What he showed is exactly what he should have showed: dedication to his family, and walked away from hockey to do that. And that's exactly what he should have done.
Right. And it's the comeback. It's the number of times he came back and was able to, on two of his returns.
And this isn't a sense thing. I don't want to say.
No, no.
I think he did what he's supposed to do, and I respect the hell out of it. But to say that's dedication to hockey is actually the opposite of what happened.
Yeah, okay. And if your wife has throat cancer.
You should go and.
Okay, but what I'm saying is when you come back to your job, okay, whatever your job is, right, my job, your day-to-day grind.
Yeah.
I can show up and I can do my job. And it may suffer a bit because I'm thinking about my wife. I'm thinking about recovery, all those sorts of things. He's got to come back to his job and be laser focused. Like you don't be an NHL starting goalie on a team that's vying all season for a playoff spot without having
that. Instead of pumping out your usual 60 fenders on the GM or 60 fenders on the GM, you know, line, you put out 52 because you were distracted a little bit. If you're letting in 8 more goals per game or whatever, people fucking notice, right? Like, I get
immediately.
It. Yeah, I get it.
To me, if you want to talk about the Masterton, that kid was awesome. And if you didn't see the show, he was the best presenter, right? The 10-year-old kid who came out to, he was from Room. You've likely never seen it, right?
Nope.
He was amazing. He's a Canucks fan, this little kid. And 10 years old, and he comes out in his little suit and articulating and enunciating every word correctly. he was awesome, that kid. Best of the night. The Brian Bickell thing, to me, is more interesting. Why is that guy not winning the Masterton? Or he didn't even get his team's nomination for the Masterton. Because
he's never really been part of that team, I guess, right?
Like, well, he was there all season.
Sure.
And so, okay, they were willing to highlight it. Yep. They were willing to give money to his foundation.
Yep.
But yet, Carolina gave their nomination, and he was one of the final three to a guy who didn't play his first NHL game until he was 28 or 29. No other, he just stuck with it.
Yeah.
So to me, that's interesting.
It's like so many of these awards, right? Where it's language as much as whatever. And like I said, I respect the hell out of what Craig Anderson did. I just, it's same with this, the MVP, right?
But there was no way, just to finish that, there was no way he wasn't winning that award.
I think you're probably right there. Sidney Crosby has another phenomenal season, leads the league in goals after missing the first eight games or whatever of the season, and isn't MVP. I think Connor McDavid was fantastic. I think maybe next year, the year after, whatever, I think it's coming. I don't think he was the best player in the league, but that's not what that award goes to. It's the most valuable player. And I do agree, I suppose, that the Oilers, without him, we saw it last year, right? Not so good.
To me, Crosby's still the best player in the game.
Yeah, so he would be your most outstanding player, but not necessarily your most valuable player.
Okay, and in a very Ottawa-centric take on this, and I'm probably not going where you think I'm going.
All right.
It is the Norris.
Yeah.
Brent Burns.
Yep.
Wins it. I got zero issue with that. I would have had zero issue if you gave it to Hedman. Right? To me, Hedman outscored. He had more points than Carlson.
Yeah.
Right? Like, to me, Hedman playing in Tampa, people don't get to see it enough. He is a big man that's a great skater. Right? You look at Brett Burns. Brett Burns had 29 goals in February, and that's what he ended with. Right, like,
yep.
To me,
no, Carlson was more consistent than Burns.
So, but you had guys. So, and this is more comes down to that whole making public who you voted for.
Yeah,
you had nine guys that didn't have Carlson in the top three, right?
Yep.
And you had three voters who didn't have him in their top five defensemen.
Well, and you had, in a similar vein, two voters who didn't have Crosby in the top five of the MVP voting.
Those people...
You need to have your vote shown, and then you never be able
to vote again. And you're not allowed to vote again.
Ever.
Because to me, if you don't have Carlson in the top five, or you don't have Crosby in the top five of the
Rocket fucking Richard winner.
You don't get...
No.
Who missed the 10th of the season?
Yep.
You don't get to vote. Because you do
that
not...
That stuff has to become public.
You don't know hockey. And that's, to me, that's all that is.
Right now, you're hiding behind, regional rivalries and the fact that you're anonymous, and it's
Torrey Krug gets a second place vote and not one other vote.
Right.
Who do you think voted for him?
Yeah, I have a feeling we're looking at someone out of WEEI out of Boston
or whatever. And you have Dmitry Orlov getting a third place vote and nobody else votes for him.
Right.
Where do you think that vote's coming from? Like, honest to God, man.
Is there a Moscow branch of the Pro Hockey Raiders?
And you know what? This takes me back. When we were in my grade 12 year, all Ontario championships, we win a gold medal lacrosse, right? And we're coming home on the bus. And I'm sitting in the very back seat, shooting a couple beers. But I'm with the goalie, right? And we're talking about things. And I tell him, yeah, you know what? Well, my guy, I'd never allowed my guy to score an even strength goal all season, right? Through regular season play, through the All-Ontario run-ups, never. My guy never scored an even strength goal. Right? And he's like, and so the goalie's like, wow, that's awesome, right? And so we get about... another hour down the road on the way home, and they say, okay, we're going to pass around paper, and everybody has to vote for the MVP, team MVP.
Yeah.
Okay, no way I was ever going to win an MVP award, and didn't.
Right.
Okay? But so all the awards, we have to write a little piece of paper, we got to fold it, and we pass it all forward on the bus, and the coach announced it. And so all the votes are in, and the goalie says to me, hey, I voted for you. And I'm like, are you fucking crazy? I'm going to get one vote.
Everyone's going to think.
And they're going to think, and the coach is going to go, oh, fucking Christy. Look at that guy. And he voted for himself. I'm like, you idiot. Don't fucking do that. It makes me look like a clown.
Yeah, that makes.
Okay. That makes me look worse.
Right.
I can do it on my own, man. I don't need your help. So to me, there has to be transparency.
Last thing to touch on this one, and we will get to the actual entry draft and whatnot on the next show. One of the things being proposed to the, what do they call, competition committee.
Yep.
Is the idea of, they're gonna apparently crack down on hacking and slashing on the hands and stuff, which is way
zero tolerance is the word on the street.
We'll see.
Okay. Okay, what that means is we're going to see it through the exhibition.
Yeah.
And maybe the first five games of the regular season.
Yeah. But the other point was, instead of giving up a timeout when you challenge a goal against on an offside, it would be a two-minute penalty. Now, there's a ton of stuff to be ironed out in terms of, you know, goaltender interference. I guess that's a legit one. Other things that may be allowable. But on offside, the stingy little, his skate wasn't quite on the ice. You better be fucking sure if we're going to waste this much time that that's actually what was happening. And if not, you're going to take a penalty. You'll get to keep your time out, but you're going to take a two-minute delay a game penalty. Any thoughts on...
Guy Boucher, we're talking right to you, buddy, who must have led the...
So many of these.
Must have led the league in failed challenges.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. I know I saw enough of them around the league that were just...
Well, and to me, a guy who plays the system the way he does, you cost us a shit ton of calls.
Yeah, because your games are going to be tight.
And they're tight. And late in the game, man, we're down by a goal and we got a face-off. We need the timeout.
Yeah.
Right? You got an offensive zone face-off or a defensive one and you're trying to, you know, rest your guys.
Yeah, get
back. We don't have that timeout because you failed.
Yeah.
Man, I like it. To me, it's gonna curb those ticky-tack.
Yeah, just stop, right?
Yes.
It just drives me fucking crazy, and we've talked about it on this show before, and like I said, I think once you've given up or gotten possession back, you lose that again. You can't challenge, right? If you took the puck and then didn't clear it, sorry, man, that's on you. Those sorts of things.
No, to me, that is the best, right? Because sometimes there's 30 seconds of pass.
Yeah. No, recycling it around, giving it, you know, back and forth. Back
right, you point. Failed. You tried to get off the glass, didn't go out. You tried to a weak shot. Yeah, to me, that's perfect.
Yeah,
and honestly, there's sometimes where half the time they go, and there's a challenge, and I'm like, well, what are they challenging?
What?
Yeah. And you go, 30 seconds ago there was a potential offside, and you're like, get the fuck out of here. And when it works for your team, you're like, yay.
Shrewd.
Yeah, right. Awesome call there.
Yeah.
And when you don't, it's like...
Pfft. It's like when the opposing team calls a timeout with a minute left down by one and everybody boos them. When my team does it, it's great strategy. Okay. When your team does it, you're fucking losing.
And to me, it's like in baseball when they throw over to first.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you booing, people? They're trying to hold somebody on. What are you booing?
When my guy does it, he's brilliant. When your guy does it, he's scared to pitch to our...
Yeah.
Kevin Pillar or whatever.
To me, it's garbage. The fans, for the most part, are
stupid.
Not smart. And should be voting for awards.
Ahead of Steve Simmons and these sorts. Okay. So, I have a feeling. Anyway, that's Tall Can Sports from the inside of a fucking
soup can.
Septic tank.
Hello!
See ya.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.